Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You've got questions? O'Reilly Auto Parts has answers. Need a pro you can trust? We've got that too. No matter what you need, our professional parts people have the training and expertise to help you do things right. Deep automotive knowledge. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys in a post-2024 trade deadline world. I wish I had better news for all of you. I wanted to bring gifts and film breakdowns and scheme analysis of the new toy that we were going to unwrap in this 2024 season. But as we record, the 1 p.m. trade deadline has come and it has passed. Now, I do have to say, we are recording this live and perhaps the paperwork has been filed with the NFL office, the 49ers and an opposing team for a trade, and it just hasn't become public yet. However, I remain skeptical. But that does not change the fact that we learn a lot about this roster because there were trades to be had. The 49ers front office chose not to. They're happy with what they got. And so I want to break that down. I want to talk about the future draft picks, how many picks we have. We have a lot. I want to talk about salary cap moving forward, team building, all of those different things, because sometimes no information provides a lot of new information. And I think, you know, the general overarching theme of the 49ers making zero moves is that they're very, very happy with where they are roster-wise, salary cap-wise, draft pick-wise. I think that that is huge. Now, this is episode 1254. Got to say thank you to my executive producers, David Gill, Kilton 49er, 49ers George 365, and Corey Robbins. You guys are the best of the best. Love all the hashtag CCs. What's up, Phil? How we doing? JM, Lynch Masterclass as always. Now, here's what's crazy, because no matter how many moves the 49ers make, we're not going to be happy. We want more. We are fiends, right? We're fanatics. That's who we are. Give me more. Give me more. Give me more. I'm thinking Tyrone Biggums on Dave Chappelle show, right? We weren't going to get everything we wanted. I did believe the 49ers would be active for a defensive lineman or a tight end too. Those things didn't happen, but we've made huge trades before. We really, really have, you know, Emmanuel Sanders, Christian McCaffrey, Trent Williams, D. Ford, Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, not all those were trade deadline moves, but this is a little bit more of a, let's just wait and see. Let's just allow this roster to kind of be what, did my mouse just die? I think my mouse just died. Isn't that fun? Here we go. We got a trade. The Texans are trading, that's Khalil Davis, to the 49ers in exchange for a seventh-round pick. Just hit Diane Russini. Khalil Davis. Look at that. I can't believe my mouse just died. I'm so pissed in my live show. How rude. All right. We got something. And as I was starting my sentence of, man, what, you know, the 49ers, like, I thought that they would go D-line or offensive tackle. They didn't do that. But what we're going to do is we're going to pair Malik Collins with the defensive tackle from his old team, the Houston Texans. We got Malik Collins for a seventh rounder. And now we get Khalil Davis. Now we have Kalia Davis and we have Khalil Davis all on the same team. But guess what? Not only were Khalil Davis and Malik Collins teammates in Houston, they were teammates at Nebraska as well. Actually, I don't think that they were. The age difference might be off a little bit there. But there we have it. We have a trade. It came down late. We're not even upset. We will take it. We got something. I'm just glad I get a breakdown film. I really needed this in my back pocket. It came across super, super late, but I freaking love it, man. So right at the buzzer, this is what Ian Rappaport just put out. Texans traded backup defensive tackle Khalil Davis to the 49ers for a 7th-round pick, according to Diane Russini of The Athletic. We'll talk through our picks and what that means. We have 3 7th-round picks currently. None of them are our own. We did a pick swap with the Carolina Panthers, so we have the Carolina Panthers 7th-round pick. And we are projected to get 2 compensation picks in the 7th round as well. 1 for Cleveland Farrell, 1 for Ray McLeod. So we have 3 7s. I don't know which one that's going to be. We'll have to see how that shakes out. But, man, I freaking love it. And I got to say, shout out to my man, David Wright, who came across the board. He's the one that alerted me on Twitter. So 49ers, yeah, they were a little late in there, but we got something. And so the film analysis will come as soon as I finish this. I'm going to go download some tape, do some research. I'm going to break down kind of who he is here in a second. But that film breakdown, the all 22 kind of scouting report, all that stuff, that's going to be over on the 49ersrush.com. That's going to be over on our Patreon channel. So if you want that, the film, coaches notes and all that stuff, that's where that's going to be. So let's get to know. We got a new 49er. Now I am curious, who are we going to have to release or go on IR, or, you know, what that's going to look like. If all of our wide receivers are healthy, Ronnie Bell could be a prime candidate, but we shall see. There's linebackers, there's wide receivers, there's guards. There's going to be roster moves, because with CMC coming back, with John Feliciano coming back, like, that's 2 more roster spots. We're going to lose some dudes. So let's talk Khalil Davis, baby. The 49ers got a new little toy, 6'2", 315, stout. There's 2 types of defensive tackles. This has been true since Kucerik's been here, since Kyle Shanahan's been here in 2017. There is the heavy, you know, anchor guy. Then there's the small slasher, okay? Small slasher, usually around 6 foot, around 295, 285. Kind of that 305 and below. That's Hargrave, Kevin Givens, Maurice Hurst, a lot of those guys. There's that body type. Then there's the plugger role. Javon Kinlaw, Earl Mitchell was some of those early ones. Malik Collins. You get these Ridgeway. You remember him? A lot of these bigger, stouter, thicker defensive tackles. Khalil Davis is one of those. Khalil Davis is one of those. So these 2 different defensive tackle roles. This is a bigger dude. Oh, he's from Blue Springs, Missouri. I used to live there. He's 28 years old, went to Nebraska. He was a 6th-round pick for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the 6th round of the 2020 draft. I don't remember breaking down film on him. I'll go back through my draft notes back in 2020, but I'm pretty sure I did not do a pre-draft report on Khalil Davis out of Nebraska. Now, he missed a season. I'm going to figure out why. He missed all of 2022. Now, he's gotten better. So, his first year, he was with the Tampa Bay Bucs, played in 2 games, recorded a couple tackles, didn't play much. And let's look at the snap counts. Played 37 snaps his rookie year. They moved on from him. He goes, I want to see if he was cut, traded, or what that looked like. Here we go. So activated, he was waived. So he gets waived by the Tampa Bay Bucs, who drafted him in the 6th round after, when did they exactly waive him? In October, they let him go. Then he jumped on with the Colts, never played with the Colts that original year, but stuck around. And then his sophomore year, 2021, he played 6 snaps defensively for the Colts. Didn't work out. Then in 2022, he didn't play. He was on no team. He was on and off different teams, but he never played. So 2022 was a wash. Then 2023, he gets on with the Houston Texans. And that's an early sign. So that's with D'Amico Ryans whenever he first went there, right? And he played 15 games. He played 422 snaps for the Houston Texans in 2023. That's a lot of snaps. That's over 50%. This year, he's played in all nine games. He's played 172 snaps. That's 32%. So he's been a rotation piece. If we're looking at sacks, he's had three sacks in the past 2 years. That's not really going to be his role. You can tell by his build, he's a run-stuffing defensive tackle. That's what you're getting. Combined 43 tackles. He's got 10 tackle for loss. That's pretty good in 2 years. That's much better than his sack numbers and 10 quarterback hits. Huh. That's not bad. Let's go over to PFF. I want to look at kind of just the history that he brought. Let's get a little bit more advanced statistical count. I mean, shoot, you're looking at a 2 year sample size, really 1.5, both with Houston, which guess what? Exact same defensive principles. Defensive tackles, pretty easy to translate to almost every single team out there in the NFL. But going from the Houston Texans, D'Amico Ryan, kind of, you know, 4-2-5, Seattle 3, defensive base, all these different things. I know it's varied since then. Very, very similar. So it's not like he's going to have a very difficult time transitioning from Houston. He's been there for 2 years, played next to Malik Collins to go into the 49ers, which is the same. You're going to get a little bit more juice from Chris Kucerik coaching style, but that's about it. Scheme same, responsibility same. They still read the blocks of the offensive linemen the same. Those are all the same. So we're looking at a year and a half sample size, and he's been consistent. He's not great. You got to understand, you're giving up a seventh round pick for a backup defensive tackle. This is a depth piece. This is not somebody that's going to start over Malik Collins. He's not going to start over Jordan Davis. He's not going to start over Kevin Givens. He's not going to start over Evan Anderson. He's not going to start over any of those guys. He's a rotational guy that can play on early downs to plug the run. But man, I'm looking at his numbers. Yeah, they're not bad. This year, he's got 8 total pressures. How many pass rush attempts? 102. All right. Yeah, it's kind of rough. Man, I may have misjudged him based on his weight. He's got more pass rush snaps than run defense snaps. You look at his grades this year. He's got a 51.6 run grade, a 56.6 pass rush grade. Got higher grades there. So I may have miscalculated. I'm sorry if I judged the book by his cover, Khalil. You are the man. I look forward to getting to know you more. Dude's a baller. Last year was pretty much one-sided. Pretty much a lot equaler as far as run snaps and defensive snaps last year, 212 to 269. But even last year, more pass rush snaps than he had there. I tell you what, let's go to, I know what we're going to do. We're going to go to Dane Brugler's 2020 Beast article. Let me see if I can get, it's going to take a minute to get there. Oh, dang it, they've got it back. I've got it under the paywall. Let me see if I can get to it. I'm going to have to sign in and all that fun stuff. But we have it. Anyway, I'm going to have to, this stinking thing is going to be a mess. Beast 2020. I've got it on PFF, but they're being stinkers. Here we go. I think I got it. Because I want to see what his background information is, because he's not somebody that I remember studying too much. And, you know, we're going to get to know his tape for sure. But here, let's see here. Khalil Davis. Let's get to it. So, Khalil Davis. There's Khalil Davis. I'm going to mess this up all the time. Khalil Davis out of Nebraska. Dane Brugler is one of the best draft researchers in the freaking industry. It's not even close. His team do a great job. They do an amazing job. So he had him ranked as his 21st defensive lineman, defensive tackle. And this is the Derrick Brown, Javon Kinlaw draft, Jordan Davis, all these guys, 2020, all the same draft. Dane Brugler had him ranked 21st. Out of that defensive tackle draft with a 6th to 7th round grade. Guess what? That's right where he went.
Thank you, the Casio G-Shock. Thanks to its legendary toughness and timekeeping autonomy, it's no secret why the mighty G-Shock has earned its place on the wrist of weekend warriors, first responders, and militaries all over the world. But there's levels to this stuff. And there's a little-known collection of top-shelf G-Shock watches made for folks who crave the very best for everything in life. It's called the MRG. This flagship line of G-Shock watches takes the most cutting edge of tech G-Shock has to offer and blends it with the highest levels of traditional Japanese craftsmanship. We're talking about hybrid titanium and Kobarian case construction with artisanal armor-like flourishes, all honed like the edges of a samurai sword. Every beloved reference in the G-Shock collection gets coveted MRG treatment. From the original square case digital reference from 1983 to the beloved analog Frogman dive watch, all the way up to the newest fan favorite, the MRG B2100, with its octagonal bezel and its wild interlocking beams dial. Discover the full range this holiday season at Topper Jewelers. And while supplies last, mention this ad in 49ers Rush to receive a special gift with your next G-Shock order.
So here we go. Let's talk about, it's pronounced Khalil. Yep, Khalil Davis. There we go. He has a twin brother, Carlos. They were adopted at 9 years old. Good Lord, they had never met their biological parents. Started playing football together in middle school, went to Blue Springs High School, suburbs of Kansas City. Makes sense with the Nebraska connection there with Khalil. This is Khalil Davis, the newest 49er. Started track and field and football. Davis started playing varsity as a sophomore. Led Blue Springs to a 14-0 Class A, 6A state title as a junior. He was awesome there. Freaking love to see that. Let's see here. 2015 Class 5 Missouri State Championship title in track. He was second in the shot put and discus. And only his twin brother beat him, which is just an absolute trip. Talented kids. So let's see here. Let's go through some more of these. Yeah, right here. He goes into depth. Their twins were abandoned shortly after they were born with different names. The Davis family adopted them, renamed them. His adopted uncle, Lorenzo Hicks. Now we're into nostalgia, baby. Cornerback at Nebraska back in the 80s. And hopefully you guys know that name. I remember all Nebraska football. Davis graduated with his degree in child, youth, and family studies. Dude, talk about breaking cycles, man. I love this dude. Except he played in the East-West Shrine Bowl. Now, he redshirted at Nebraska in 2015. Sorry that I'm kind of doing this on the fly here. And shout out again to Dane Brugler. Amazing work, his entire team. Played a lot of football. 47 games played, only 11 starts at Nebraska in his 5 years there. He was the third team all Big Ten, led the team in sacks, and honorable mention track and field in the discus. So he stayed a two-sport athlete. Now, let's talk kind of workouts and all these things. And for this part, let me jump over to mockdraftable.com. Man, I'm back in my draft wheelhouse right here. I'm loving this. So let's look at his measurements compared to the rest of the defensive tackles. So first, I'm just going to quickly read his measurements. Then I'm going to give you some comparables. And again, this is based off of his 2020 combine workout. Khalil Davis, the brand new 49er, the newest 49er. And I keep trying to refresh. It's fun refreshing without a dang mouse. How dare you, Logitech? Yeah, it says in exchange for a 2026 seventh round pick. So all of the seventh rounders we got this year, we still have 11 picks. I want to talk about that. So not a 2025th seventh round pick. That's a 2026. You're talking 2 years down the line. All right. That gets me a little more excited. Whew. I want to keep those picks, baby. Keep all the picks. All right. So here's Khalil Davis's workouts. 6'1", 308, 31.5-inch arms, 9 3/4-inch hands, 74 3/4-inch wingspan. I'll tell you what all these mean and comparables and all that. 4.75 in the 40-yard dash. He is quick. 10-yard, 166, quick. Vertical, 32.5. Broad jump, 9.5. 32 bench press rate. This dude is strong. No jump, shuttle, or three cones. He did at his pro day, the vertical 32.5 and broad jump. Those were at his pro day. So let's go over now and I think that this will paint a pretty good picture. Let me see here if I could share this. I'm really, really bad at sharing my screen. I don't like doing it very often because I'm not good at like clicking all these different things. But this is mockdraftable.com, one of my favorite tools out there. And this is Khalil Davis. And this just shows you the web or the spider chart for how this person measures out against his position across all NFL drafted players or NFL combine players. Okay, so it doesn't include everything. The jumps and stuff aren't in this because he didn't do them at the combine. But you can see right off the bat, this is a fast, very, very powerful person with no height, no arm length, and relatively small hands. Now the weight shows up. So here's the percentages. Height, 5%. Arm length, 5%. Hand size, 38%. Weight, 79. 40-yard dash, 83. Bench press, 87. So this is an explosive, powerful, quick defensive tackle in Khalil Davis. Look at the comparables. Carlos Davis, who came out the same draft as him at the same school. Nebraska got a tight. Geno Atkins, one of my favorite players, 87.7% match. Grady Jarrett, 83.1% match. Mike Daniels, I love Mike Daniels, 80% match. So you can kind of see a little bit of a visualization of the type of player you're getting. Initially, whenever I read what his current height and weight were, I was like, oh, this is a plugger guy. You dig into him a little bit, it's like, Lee Corso out here. Not so fast, my friend. I freaking love it. Now, let's go back to his pre-draft write-up. Okay, this is what he put out in college. Strengths. Pounces out of his stance with body control. Lower center gravity. This is all based on Dane Brugler's write-up. Want to give credit there. Shoots gaps and stays balanced through contact. Impressive chase speed for a size. That makes sense with the 40-yard dash for sure. Let's see here. Body flexibility. He's a track guy. Shot put, discus. That's flexibility. Balance control. Explosive. Strength, all those things. That comes across. Love to see that. Ball awareness has developed each season, quickly diagnosing the backfield action, which that should be good. So whenever I turn on the tape, this dude's been playing in the league for 4.5 years now. Motor is constantly revving. Love that. Tapping into his reserve tank when necessary. That's good. Flip side of the coin. This is a 6-round draft pick. Defensive tackle, 6-round draft pick, Khalil Davis. Weaknesses, right? Functional play strength doesn't match his weight room strength. Hands are quick but soft. Lacking a bully element to his game. Struggles to convert speed to power as a rusher. Shorter arms. Sluggish coil. Hinder his ability to disengage block. All right. Keeps going. Let's see here. Not considered a dirty player, but received a 1-game suspension from the Big Ten for illegally striking an Ohio State blocker. Now I'm in. I liked you, Khalil Davis. Now I'm in. Do I like dirty players? I do not. I like mean players. I do. I'm sorry. I like mean. I like mean. Only one season as a starter. The overall kind of assessment from Dave Brugler, Davis needs to develop his point of attack power and technique, but he is an ascending pass rusher, and his persistence chasing the football gives him a shot to earn an NFL roster spot. There we go. Man, shout out to The Athletic and Dane Brugler for their amazing work. That is the pre-draft write-up of Khalil Davis. I'm pumped, guys. We got a new toy. Roberto, my man. He says, John, possible that trades could be announced later. Nope, no more trades. This was the last one in the NFL, Roberto. Thank you so much. It's not much. It's not sexy. We got an old Camry. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to do the job. It's you know, you don't go picking up chicks in it. Maybe you can. I don't know. But I like this. So, yeah, we got some news. Shout out to Terra Dome, my man. Excited to see your show later, your next show, whatever that is. Go check out Terra Dome if you haven't yet. Just type in Terra Dome on YouTube, Terra Dome Niners. Great show. He does a great job. What's up, Mark? How y'all doing? Sorry, I'm way behind the chat. I am way behind the chat. There we go. Jason, he says, too many K Davises now. Kalia Davis, Khalil Davis. Kalia Davis, Khalil Davis. That's going to be a fun one, but I'll take it. the Newt. I read that wrong. Thought we traded away Kalia Davis. Nope, we got both. Let's make it. I struggle with the Maliks and Malik. I struggle with those two on defense. I'm going to get it right. Right here, John, what about the defensive tackle the Browns released earlier? I'd say with this move, no. I don't think that that's going to happen. So, you know, small, we hit. This is not moving the needle. But now let's step back and talk about why the 49ers saw it as maybe you don't need to move the needle. You're getting back so many players, Christian McCaffrey, John Feliciano, Juwan Jennings, Jake Moody. All those guys are back at practice already. That's four. Dre Greenlaw is running on the side of the field with his helmet on. Talanoa Fungus, a couple more weeks out. Etur Gross Models, a couple weeks out. Like, you're getting so many of these guys back. It's like, okay, if you trade for somebody, we have to part with somebody on this roster. Now, you're bringing Christian McCaffrey and John Feliciano, and you trade. You have to lose three players soon. You have to. Now, Feliciano and CMC, they've had their practice windows opened up, their 21-day practice, but they have not been promoted off of IR. So those two roster moves you don't have to do, but if they play this week, you do. My assumption is, I don't think Feliciano is probably going to be activated for this game this week versus the Bucks. I do believe Christian McCaffrey will. So that's one roster move. But now you traded for this player. That's two roster moves. The roster opening for Khalil Davis, who you just traded for, you have to process that almost immediately. We'll probably get the news in the next hour or so. I'll keep refreshing. Can't use my mic. Man, I never knew how dependent I was on that damn mouse. So we'll see here. I'll keep looking. Still not seeing anything as far as who the 49ers would be releasing, but they have to announce that. So if you, the more trades you make, you got to get rid of some of these young guys. And the 49ers have started this new transition where they're going to build through the draft. And guess what? They're pretty damn good at it. They're pretty damn good. This draft class is already off of the freaking charts, man. Ricky Pearsall, looks like a hit. Renardo Green, hell yes. Dominique Pooney, best player in the draft. For our draft, right? Malik Mustafa, hell yes. Isaac Garrido, man, he's shown promises and trending in the right direction. Already like him more than TDP and more than Trey Sermon. Not that that's saying a lot, but he's distancing himself from those guys, for sure. Jacob Cowing, I like him. The explosiveness is there. Can he learn the playbook, blocking, and all that stuff? That's been the question. Jared Kingston, he's already gone. Tatum Bethune, run stud, terrible at special teams. We'll see. But, man, you're talking 1, 2, 3, 4, at least 5 hits. At least 5 hits. And how many picks did we have? 4? We had 8 picks. Well, here's the exciting part. The exciting part is looking forward. Because the 49ers are loaded in next year's draft. The pick that we gave up for Khalil Davis isn't even a 2025. So here's the beauty, okay? And this goes back to John Lynch. And I know the thumbnail of this video, I'm not changing. I'm leaving it up there. I spent time on that. Kind of poking fun at John Lynch a little bit. Doing nothing, but we did something. So you know what? That's on me. I was a little upset because we didn't have a move. And so I got him with my little thumbnail graphic, and somebody's like, what's the thumbnail? It's like the SpongeBob to-do list, and it says nothing, and he like crosses it out, and I like put John Lynch on there. Anyway, I felt good doing it. It was therapeutic for me. Some of you guys clicked on it because of that thumbnail. I know that. But John Lynch said years ago, he was asked, is it time to push all the chips in, or are you going to try to build towards sustainability in a future? And John Lynch says, I don't see why we can't do both. I'm not sure Khalil Davis is pushing the chips in or going quote-unquote all in the words of Jerry Jones, who's terrible. But the idea is we want to sustain the studs that we have, and we want to replenish through the draft. That's who this team is. And so moving forward, I'll talk salary cap in a little bit. Listen to these draft picks, okay? 49ers have 11 draft picks next year. 11. It goes to 11. Yeah, but couldn't you just like turn it to 10? It could. Yeah, but it has 11. All right. Spinal Tap. Anybody? All right. We have our own first rounder. We have our own second rounder. We have our own third rounder plus another third rounder comp pick for the D'Amico Ryans, Rand Carthon being hired away. Because if you lose two minority coaching GM replacements, you get 3 years. If you lose one, you get two. But if you lose two in the same year, then you get three consecutive years of those third round comp picks. This would be the last year of that, by the way, in 2025. So you got two third rounders. We've got our own fourth. We've got an extra fourth round comp pick because of Chase Young. That is huge. We've got our own fifth rounder, our own sixth rounder. We do not have our seventh. Remember the Zane Gonzalez trade where we swap seventh rounders? So we have the Panthers' seventh, which will be way before us, basically at the start of the seventh round. And we get a seventh round comp pick for Cleveland Farrell. And we get a seventh round comp pick for Ray McLeod. So 11 draft picks that you get to keep. Guys, I'm telling y'all right now, obviously, every single thing that we do is channeled towards winning the Super Bowl. That's what we want. But I'm a draft guy. When the 49ers traded all those picks for Trey Lance, I was happy we were getting Trey Lance, which turned out to be way wrong. But not having those first round picks sucked so bad. I hated it, man. I hated it. I'm telling y'all right now, regardless of whatever happens in 2024 for the rest of this year, we've been doing this 8 years. This is episode 1254. Ron Burgundy. Is it 1254? Yeah, 1254. Like, we're not going anywhere. 49ers Rush. Is this your first time joining us? I see there's a lot of people watching today. I want to say thank you. We go live pretty much every damn day. So hit subscribe. We're not going anywhere. So this offseason, when we do our draft work, last year we wrote up 200, draft write-ups and film breakdowns and all this stuff. We're going to keep that rolling. That ain't going to stop because we're not going anywhere. And if you are going somewhere, like to Tampa Bay, for example, come hang out with us. Frank Gore, The Inconvenient Truth, is going to be with us in Tampa Bay this weekend. I fly out Thursday. So our Coach Approach show is going to get bumped up, maybe canceled. I got to talk to Ant, see how flexible he is. But I'm flying out early in the morning Thursday to get out there to get set up. Saturday, November 9th, from 2 to 8 p.m., we're going to be at the Brick House Tavern with Frank freaking Gore. Are you kidding me? What a stud. He's going to be doing meet and greets, autographs, all that stuff. Plus, we're doing trivia, giveaways. We got stuff for sale. You want your 49ers bling? You name it. It's going to be a blast. You're going to meet a lot of people. Come out with us. Get your tickets. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. And remember, every single event we ever do, kids get in free with a ticketed adult. Again, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. And then we've got the best tailgate in the world. One block east. We rented out an entire freaking lot. It's a whole freaking grassy field. I cannot wait. One block east of the stadium. Unlimited drinks, unlimited food, premium alcohol, you name it. Bartenders, going to be a blast. Giveaways, trivia, all right there next to the stadium. It's going to be really cool. 3407 West Hyder Street. But get your tickets, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. And if you've never freaking been with us, what's wrong with you guys? Whenever you go to these events, you got to come say what's up. And here's what our events look like.
Going to 49ers games is awesome. But what's even better than that is going to 49ers games with the faithful, joining the community. And we got you covered. The 49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its fourth year of bringing the faithful together. Night before parties, tailgates the day of. We got you covered. Go get your tickets at 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
All right. I'm over here trying to swap out batteries. I did not get the job finished on my mouse. It's crazy, man. I should not be this hindered by like such a small thing. That's the way it goes. I keep checking to see if we've dropped somebody. None of that has come across yet. Now, sticking with, and I'm going to go through the comments, and I'm sorry. I'll get caught up to some of those. There's no way I'm going to get to everybody's. But there's more things that I wanted to talk about because with every trade, I say this all the time, you have to have three yeses. The team that is trading for, the team that is trading away, and the salary cap. The salary cap is very important. So let's go over and let's check out our man, Khalil Davis. I got to learn how to say his name correctly. Is he going to pull up? I don't think it is. I spelt his name incorrectly. There we go. Khalil Davis. Let's look at his contract. He was on a very, very cheap deal. Super cheap deal. So let's see here. He signed a $1.65 million one-year deal. So you're getting an expiring contract. That is very, very important. He is currently the 105th defensive tackle per year, like pay basis on an average per year. Not much. $350,000 fully guaranteed. So the Texans and 49ers will kind of have to work out. You're paying this much. It's probably going to be wrapped up in in-game roster bonuses, which is $150,000. He's got 9 games left. So my assumption is probably $1 million will carry over to the 49ers. That's my guess. And the Texans will completely absorb the signing bonus, which was $350,000. So you're talking to, they'll probably pay for about $800,000. We'll pay for about $900,000, if my numbers are right. Sorry. Maybe $700,000, but whatever. It's not really going to affect the cap a lot. So that's an easy three yeses. But here's what's crazy. If you look at the 49ers salary cap currently, they have the most salary cap available this year for 2024. They have $54 million available. They are the most. They have the most available. So I know somebody's like, wait a second. 49ers have the most salary cap available. Why the hell did we use it? Well, this is the approach for John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, because whatever you don't use today, you roll forward to tomorrow. And so what happens is, this is why the 49ers do void year contracts. This is why they constantly renegotiate or restructure deals and bump more and more to the future, because they also roll forward with that. All of this salary cap money, $54 million, are going to be rolled forward to 2025. Now, what's that mean? I know it's a large number, whatever. It's most of the NFL, that's the most important. The projected salary cap, which is not finalized yet, won't be finalized till after the season's over. But the projected salary cap for 2025 is $272.5 million. That's projected. We'll see. It's not final. That's just based on how it has been increasing. $272 million. The 49ers get a roll into that $54 million, which means the 49ers will be operating with an actual salary cap of $326 million. They could spend $50 million more per year next year. Now, again, Niners aren't going to spend all that. And you've got the Brock Purdy contract coming up. He's not the only one. Diamandour Lenore, expiring deal. Charvarius Ward, expiring deal. Dre Greenlaw, expiring deal. Talano Ufunga, expiring deal. You've got Aaron Banks, expiring deal. You've got guys all across the board whose contracts are coming. They're done. So Brock Purdy, he's going to get his deal. I hope Demo, he should be priority two. I think Dre Greenlaw, three. From there, you can kind of pick one or two, but we'll see. The 49ers have a way to do all of that, even with the Ayuk deal, even with the Purdy extension, even with all of that, because the way that they manage it. Now, will all of those come to roost eventually? Yeah, look at the Saints. They're not in a good space. But the 49ers have had one wonderful difference with the way in which they've handled all of these extensions. They've done it 1 year at a time. Oh, okay. Now it's Fred Warner. Okay. Next year, it's George Kittle. Okay. Next year, it's Debo. Okay. Next year, it's Trent Williams. Okay. Next year, it's Nick Bosa. Okay. Next year, it's Ayuk. Okay. Next year, it's like a rolling machine where it's one giant deal a year. Demo and Purdy, that will probably be the biggest, obviously, with a quarterback, but corners get paid a lot too. But they've been able to financially handle this. And I know, like, as soon as, like, anybody gets a deal, the first, like, five national media tweets are, oh, 49ers are going to have, how long can they keep Debo? How long can they keep Kittle? How long can they keep this? Well, if you look at the salary cap and you roll forward $54 million, that's how. Is it going to be sustainable forever? Probably not. The Brock deal is going to make it much harder than any other deal. But the idea that you can't keep the band together and all those different things that everybody keeps saying, I'm not so sure. Because the 49ers are sitting here and they have the most all-pro players. They have the most Pro Bowl players. They have the most top-level contracts at all of these different positions. And yet still, they have the most salary cap space in the NFL. Now, you've got to be smart. And part of that being smart is not trading for giant contracts halfway through the year, which they did not do. You got Khalil Davis, which is going to cost you less than $1 million. I think that's why it is. And so one of my favorite clips this offseason is Christian McCaffrey was asked. I want to keep playing this thing because I love this. Christian McCaffrey was asked, how long is the 49ers championship window open? Well, here's what CMC said.
I don't know. I know we got a window this year. That's all I know. So I'm focused on this year and taking it, you know, one day at a time, 1 week at a time, 1 year at a time.
Does Khalil Davis move the needle? Are the 49ers now championship favorites once more? I don't think so. Did the 49ers get better? I think they got deeper. I think that they got to a little bit place where it's like, hey, even if something goes wrong at the defensive tackle position, guess what? We're going to be all right. We have that. This is a experienced player that can come in and play. He played 400 snaps last year. He's already played almost 200 this year. This is a guy that you get into the rotation and you're going to be all right. I really, really do believe that. So is it a needle mover? No. Is it a depth piece? Yes. But you didn't mortgage your draft future at all. You still got 11 picks next year. You didn't mess with your salary cap at all. Still rolling forward $54 million. It's John Chapman money right there. It's not. I wish it was John Chapman money. Now, speaking of money, and this is huge. Hopefully you all watched the Bucks game last night, which, man, they put on a show, but the refs are always going to make it easy for the Chiefs in the fourth quarter, and Mahomes is Mahomes. It's what it is. It's what it is. But the line after the game, the 49ers were 6.5-point favorites before Monday Night Football. Now it's dropped to 5. That's a full 1.5 off of how Baker Mayfield played without Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. But, I want to talk more about the Bucs game here in a second after this break. But if you're wanting to bet, this is the lowest the line's going to go at -5. So it's only going to go back up. I think it'll probably finish around 6 or 5.5 points, but the market overcorrected a little bit. So if you're going to bet the 49ers, spread, now is the time to do it. If you're going to do it, here's where you got to go.
You know football. You watch all the games, you know what's going to happen before it actually does. So why don't you put your knowledge to the test over at MyBookie, where you can bet on everything. Go to mybookie.ag, use promo code 49ERS, 49ers, or scan this QR code next to me, and they're going to match your initial deposit. Put in 50, you get 50. Put in 100, you get 100, all the way up to $1,000. Plus, you can bet everywhere. California, Texas, doesn't matter. I've been in California for years. I've used it for 6 straight years. Easy to get money in, easy to get money out, trusted source, and you can bet on anything you want. You want to bet on politics, any sport, you name it. They've got the casino if that's your thing. You name it, MyBookie is there for you. Now, make sure you use promo code 49ERS to get that double deposit, and MyBookie, bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.
All right, let's get to some of these freaking awesome questions that I'm way behind in the chat, so I apologize. I know we kind of went off. We started the show probably a little too early. I was mad, so I wanted to start talking. Then we got the trade done on the fly, which was really, really cool. Mosquito says, so he's basically depth, 100%. That's what it's going to be. Invader Davis going to take reps from Elliott. I wish. You know, we break down every single offensive, defense, and special teams play. Past 3.5 seasons, they're all up on the 49ersrush.com, the all-22 coaches tape. And one of my main takeaways, you know, this past game and really this season, Jordan Elliott's not that good. He's not consistent. He's a splash player. I call it the Jordan Elliott fifth play special, where he gets bullied four straight plays, and on the fifth play, he makes a tackle for loss. It's like one out of five plays. He's our starter. I don't think he should be, but Malik Collins is the starter, and I think it's everybody else. I prefer Kevin Givens. I prefer Evan Anderson. Then I'd go Jordan Elliott. Then I'd go Kalia Davis. And I think Khalil Davis should jump Kalia Davis. That's going to be a fun one, man. Jeez, that's going to be a fun one. Right here, we're talking Azeez Ojulari. You know, the Giants were asking for a fourth-round pick minimum for the edge rusher Azeez Ojulari. We chose not to. Now, again, as a film guy, I think we got our edge. His name's Sam O. That dude is a baller. He is a baller. And you're about to get back Etur Gross-Matos. So this has kind of been who John Lynch has been. And I love this about him. He says, we're not overpaying here, right? Go to the Chase Young deal. They wanted a second-round pick. Lots of people were, you know, in whatever. He says, look, we'll give you a third-round comp pick and not even our best third-round comp pick. You're going to get our last third-round comp pick for him. And John Lynch said, you know, whenever the trade deadline came in, like, he said, whenever I went to bed, I didn't think we were even in contention. But it worked, and they got him. John Lynch has constantly proven, you know, I don't know how much of a role he has with this team as the general manager. It's Kyle. Kyle runs everything. But John Lynch has proven he will not overpay at the trade deadline. He will not. For better or worse, I'm fine with it. Would I like Azeez Ojulari? Yes, I would. Would I like Azeez Ojulari for a fourth-round pick? Well, let's look back at what we did last year. You tell me, would you like Azeez Ojulari for nine games, or would you prefer Malik Mustafa, who is a fourth-round pick? Would you like Azeez for six? You know, 6 months, or Isaac Garrido for 4 years. You want Jacob Cowing for 4 years or Azeez Ojulari for 6 months? You see what I'm saying? Like, those were all fourth-round picks. So, I don't know. That's a gamble. You want the pass rushers. It's a big deal. But Sam O makes you just kind of go, huh, maybe we're all right. And we're going to get back Etur Gross-Matos? Maybe we're okay. Maybe we're okay. Dr. Steve Brill, I'm sorry, but a 2025 seventh kind of sounds steep. It's a 2026. So, yeah, it's not bad. Right here, trade. What's up, Brian? My question, does he eat up blocks to get our backers clean? I don't know the answer to that. I'm going to be very honest with you. So what's going to happen when this show ends? We still got some more time. I want to get to a lot more questions. I'm going to go through it. I'm going to figure out what his best games were and all that kind of, you know, I want to start at the high point. I'm going to go through the all 22 tape and I'm going to download. I'm going to have this breakdown out hopefully tonight. I know it's election night, all that stuff, but I'm going to get all this stuff to you guys so that you can see today. So again, there's a 7-day free trial. Go to the 49ersrush.com, sign up for the Frank Gore tier. It's $8. It costs, it's less than 30 cents per video we put out. And then I'll have that tape up tonight. So that's what I'm going to do after that. So I don't want to give you a premature answer because I don't know. I don't know. And Salty 100%. Niners also betting on Sam O. That dude is balling the hell out. And I freaking love it. Absolutely love it. I think it's a big deal. Ooh, the Godfather wants solace, man. He says Chris Kucerik has a new player to develop into a 49ers D lineman. I think that's huge. I really, really do. Right here, we got my man Big Papa. He said, just join. Who'd we get? Defensive tackle Khalil Davis for a 2026 seventh rounder for the Houston Texans. Love that. Aaron says, Roddy Bell, you are the weakest link. Goodbye. Man, it's going to be hard to keep that dude. It really, really is. I don't know. Somebody got to go. And usually it's within the position. If they move on from Evan Anderson for this, it's a terrible move. Evan Anderson has been awesome. And I think you need those bodies. I think you do. So we'll see. You got to cut somebody. Somebody's got to go. Right here, Dave. John, I know Greenlaw is your favorite player, but he is third in priority. He's not the same physicality. I know he's the tone setter. Yeah, so like again, you're talking about players. Brock Purdy's number one. You got to get done after this year. Diamandour Lenore is number two. For me, I'm going Dre Greenlaw three. As far as I want to keep these guys, that's what I'm hoping of. So we'll kind of see. Yeah, the Purdy contract's the priority. Very, very good. Dave, yeah, let's talk more about the Bucs game. It was kind of best case scenario that they went to overtime and lost because, man, they played a lot of snaps. I want to see. Let's go to – I want to look this up. The Bucs offense played 55 snaps. That's not a lot of snaps. So that's not a lot. Defensively, oh, they played 84. That's ridiculous. Like 65 is kind of your average in today's NFL. Playing 84 defensive snaps is a lot. That's a lot. And on top of that, they played Monday night and on the road. So they have a short week anyway, but the 49ers are coming off a bye. So the 49ers get plus 8 days rest. It's our biggest rest advantage this year. We have the worst rest disadvantage of the entire NFL. It's third worst ever in the history of the NFL. We play 4 out of 6 teams in a row coming off a bye. But the Bucs ain't won, right? 99 problems, but the Bucs ain't won. Not to say that the Bucs can't win. Obviously, Baker played very, very well. Baker's never beat us. But, dude, that defense is going to be tired. The entire thing should be, we're going to go out there, we're going to run the ball. We're going to wear this defense down because they're going to be very tired. I'm very excited about that Tampa Bay game. Oh, I can't wait to get out there. And again, we're going to have, you know, a full breakdown of the game and all that stuff. Yeah, and talk about overbuying, right? Sonia, thank you. The Dallas Cowboys gave up a 4th-round pick for a wide receiver 4. Now, I understand he's the second-year rookie, Jonathan Mingo. I love Jonathan Mingo. I really, really did. But now your quarterback's out. You're trading a 4th-round pick. You gave up more for him than DeAndre Hopkins got. And we saw what DeAndre Hopkins and Jonathan Mingo are not the same. Like, it's just a Cowboys overpay, man. It's huge, man. I freaking like it. I like it. So I'm excited. I like where the 49ers are. I'm glad we got something. It doesn't really move the needle, but the 49ers have constantly found a way to, okay, let's just hypothetically, what if Malik Collins got injured? What are we going to do? Well, now you replace him with his teammate, his former teammate. You're just buffering issues that are already weak points. That's all that you did today. Feliciano helps the offensive line. Christian McCaffrey helps everything. Dre Greenlaw helps the linebackers. Hufanga's going to help the safeties. Yetur Gross-Bottas is going to help defensive ends. Your quarterbacks are stellar. You got 4 healthy, good corners. Wide receivers, you're getting Juwan Jennings. Like, you're getting all these positions right. Tackle's the one area where it's like, ah. But what the hell are you going to do? Nobody trades centers. Nobody trades tackles. This is one of the first times ever Cam Robinson trade. That was like, I was very, very shocked by that. So, man. Monkey Boy says, how significant do the Dre and Huff injuries play with re-signing contracts? Yes. You can't re-sign them until they prove they can go back to their normal selves. And so, if they cannot do that, then you have to, you can still offer a deal. Look at Jason Verrett. Yeah, I mean, you look at lots of different, you know, players the 49ers have signed that have been banged up. Huge discount. And neither one of those positions get paid a lot. Hufanga, safeties, the second most devalued position in football, next running back. And then you talk linebackers. I think Dre wants to stay. You got to make a competitive. He's a top 10 linebacker. Can he return to that? Can he return to that? And that's probably one of my favorite things about the Christian McCaffrey, John Feliciano, Dre Greenlaw, Hufanga, all these injuries, is that you get them back before the playoffs. You get to work these injuries out before it always matters. But it's not like you're putting them out there in the divisional matchup for the first time and saying, man, it's 5-7, 5-7? No. You get to do that in December, right? And so, like, that's huge. So you're going to get him worked into – all of those things. He's week to week now. So you got to see it. But yeah, that's the cool thing. It's the 49ers control when they see it. They control the practice windows. They control if they get brought off IR, if they get brought off PUP. And if it doesn't look good, then you just park them there. And you just say, sorry, guys. Good luck at your next team. So we'll see. We'll see what that looks like. Right here. Who's the kicker? It's going to be Jake Moody. Probably could have brought him back earlier, but no need to rush it because the 49ers are playing for the playoffs. That's what it is. So I freaking love it. So positive. It went a blockbuster. You know, we're not going out and buying new jerseys and all that fun stuff. But the 49ers got a nice depth piece. Cheap depth piece. And shoot, man. Who knows? If he works out, maybe you sign him. And if you don't sign him and he leaves a free agency, might participate in that kind of a, what's it called, compensation pick. I doubt it. I don't think he's going to fit there. He's got a valuation on over the cap at $2 million. That's not going to show up in the compensation pick formula. But you get there. Aaron, someone on the defensive line will have to go at some point carrying 10 when Yetur Gross-Matos comes back. I get it. Yeah, that's a lot of guys. Usually they like to keep 9 or 10. 11's hard. 11 is difficult. So, man, yeah, I don't know who you'd move on from. Probably, no, Robert Beal has been a stud on special teams. He hasn't been good on, Robert Beal might be going on IR. I wouldn't, with that rib shot, I don't know. Shanahan always does creative measurements with his roster. And so that's what that is. So we'll see. We'll see what that looks like. But hey, man, the 49ers got a piece moving forward. I'm excited. If you're coming to Tampa Bay, come hang out with us. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Meet Frank Gore. Dude's going to be in the Hall of Fame soon. That's what's up. You guys are the best. If it's your first show with us, please hit that subscribe button or wherever you're listening, hit subscribe, follow, whatever. We want you back. We want you back for this. We go live all the time, almost every day. Thanks again to the executive producers, Corey Robbins, 49ers George, 365, Kilton Niner, David Gill. Y'all are the best. And until next time, I got to go break down film now. I'll have it up in a couple hours on the 49ersRush.com. But until next time, stay strong, faithful.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You've got questions? O'Reilly Auto Parts has answers. Need a pro you can trust? We've got that too. No matter what you need, our professional parts people have the training and expertise to help you do things right. Deep automotive knowledge. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.